Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran, and it has been a minute. Well, it's been a while. I have made the move with my wife, Carrie, and our kiddos, the kids that are still at home. We made the move from Spokane Valley down to Eagle, Idaho. I know we've been saying Boise, but it's actually Eagle, Idaho, where we are living now. Today in the program, I'm going to give you some updates on how things are going, share some stories of faith along the way that I think you'll find encouraging. All right, back in a minute. Hey, welcome back to the program. Let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you for the gift of life, for the gift of our faith. Lord, for walking with us on this journey. Lord, we need to trust in you, to hope in you. Lord, we want to fulfill our call with excellence. We desire to honor you in every day, Lord. We want to glorify you by how we live our lives. Lord, help us not to be diverted from the path. Help us not to be dispersed and lack the focus to fulfill your call. And Lord, help us to not get distracted by the things of this world. And Lord, we know we need your grace. We know we need the power of your Holy Spirit to be able to do that. And so, Lord, I thank you for the signs that you provide along our day. And Lord, give us the grace to recognize the way that you approach us and to honor you, Lord, in all of those things that you give to us. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I'm taking you for a walk today, and it's something different about this place. It's flat. So I'm walking at a peaceful time of day where I can just kind of open my heart and just share with you. Just share with you things that are going on in our lives. And I think there's several themes that are going to come out. One of the themes that's going to come out is that the Lord, when you follow what is your best sense of what God wants you to do, he will reveal other things to you along the way that you weren't anticipating, you weren't expecting, you didn't realize would be part of the reality that would unfold as you honored him. There's a principle in discernment in our Catholic tradition that says you don't really need to know where you're going as long as you know who's leading you, right? You don't really need to know where all of this is going to work out, how it's all going to play itself out, as long as you have that sense of confidence and that sense of clarity, sufficient clarity to know that it's the Lord who's leading us. It's the Lord who's leading me. Does that make sense? You see, you're not always going to have all the details figured out. We're not given that. I think that the Lord is asking us to exercise trust in our relationship with him so that it's not like a mathematical formula. If I do these three things, A plus B plus C, then that's going to lead to the outcome D, right? That's kind of a scientific or mathematical approach to the life of faith. But our life of faith is so much more relational, right? It's fundamentally based on and it's rooted in our relationship with the living God. And the Lord, he wants us to know that he sees us, he's taking care of us, and that He will lead us in ways that we will be surprised by. He'll lead us in ways that will say, trust me, I'm going to give you enough light. I'm going to give you enough guidance to be able to take that step forward. And there are other things that will unfold for you if you trust me. If you trust that I've given you enough to go on to be able to take this step. But now I want you to trust. It's sort of like Peter in the boat, right? Jesus comes at night, walks across the water, and they're startled. And, right, Peter says, if it's you, have me, you know, step out on the, come out to you on the water. And he does, and then he starts to sink. He had what he needed to be able to take that step of faith, right? You hear that phrase, taking a step of faith. Okay, so in so many ways, what I just shared with you in that principle of Catholic discernment, you're given enough light to know that it's the Lord who's leading you, but you don't know all of the outcome of what the Lord has for you. We have already, Carrie and I, have seen that unfold in making the move down here to the greater Boise area. So we got enough light, right? So in that part of the journey, in that stage, it wasn't a rash decision. It unfolded over the course of, let's see, 3 or 4 or 5 visits over the course of a year. And that all began a year ago in May. And over the course of these visits, we had different aspects of what our life would look like if we were to move, and what would be the reasons for us to come this way. And all of that, like that process, you see, that involved our prayerful discernment, but also our use of reason, right? It also involved us doing the practical planning, using our brains, right? Using the mind that God has given us to think through, okay, what will be involved in this? What will be the things that would draw us and would be confirming signs that this is the right thing to do? And what would be the things that would hold us back? Things that would discourage us or make us feel like, you know what, this is not wise. This is not the right decision for us. And in the end, we had enough of those confirming signs that this would be the right step for us to take. And I've already shared a number of those aspects with you. And so I won't rehash those. But what I wanted to say is that as we made our way down here, and it was just a week ago that we got here, it was July the 3rd, it was amazing what happened in just the past week. We've had, I'm going to say, 3 or 4 conversations with different people, really somewhat out of the blue, unexpected conversations that after we had them, Carrie and I just looked at each other and said, God is so amazing. The Lord is so good. And I'm just wondering if this, in fact, is part of what God is doing in bringing us here. So just as a for instance, here's one. Last Sunday, we ended up going to Mass. Okay. But there were a number of churches we could have gone to and a number of times of day where, again, we could have chosen to go to Mass. But we ended up going to the 11 o'clock Mass at the church that was the nearest to us. And so it was very convenient, and it was a little bit later in the morning. So the kids were tired from all of the move. And so we got there, and lo and behold, a couple of rows in front of us is a family that we know from Spokane Valley. In fact, they live a stone's throw from us. In fact, they're another Catholic family that made the move from the west side to the Spokane area. And in fact, the wife is part of the faith sharing group that Carrie has, or Carrie had, in the valley. And there they are. Okay, that's not the, it gets better. Well, they're there visiting her mom. And they happen to be at Mass with some friends of one of the sisters that was also living in the area. So we end up meeting this little group. And among this group is this married couple that had moved from California. And they started to witness to their faith in Christ coming alive as Catholics once they moved here because of Encounter. Now, you remember I had on as a guest one of the leaders of the Encounter Ministries initiative, this Encounter School of Ministry, this intensive weekend that's happening at Holy Family in Kirkland at the beginning of August. And so they also have a group down here, and started to talk to this husband and wife, and the husband, I pull him aside and we start talking, and he's like, yeah, my faith was just sort of flat as a Catholic guy in California. I came here and all of a sudden we started going to this Encounter. We went to this intensive weekend and things started to break open. His faith started coming alive, and now his whole life is transformed, and his wife's life is transformed, and they're fully engaged in this life of ministry and being open to the Spirit and ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit and expecting God to move in signs and wonders. And the wife was there, and she said to Carrie, she said, you know, hey, I have a faith-sharing group for women that are part of this Encounter, and I'd love to invite you. First weekend, Carrie had been saying, well, how am I going to meet people? Who's God going to bring us into relationship with? How is that going to happen? And it took God 4 days. Isn't that beautiful? We couldn't have planned that. I had no idea that was going to happen. And so that was one. That was just one of the conversations. The second one, two of the other ones happened with priests. And so one of them was with a priest who I know, who has dear friends down here in the Boise Diocese. And I ended up talking with him on the drive down. And he actually reached out to me and wanted to talk to me about this new initiative that he has of wanting to form a school of evangelization to help really form and forge young adult Catholics and others to live their life with a dynamism and a sense of like evangelizing with power, and had this tremendous like vision for it and was calling upon me to say, hey, did I want to get involved in this in some way? And for me, that again was just, that was a much quicker story, but it was a beautiful sign of the Lord saying, hey, you're wondering what I, the Lord, have for you. You who are saying that you are striving to now live a life that is more intentionally focused on me and on doing the work that I have for you. And the answer is yes, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. Well, the Lord was just giving me a little indicator there. I'm not saying that is like a project I'm going to be involved in, but it's a sign of the kind of thing that the Lord can put me into contact with. And he also was like a John the Baptist for me, this priest, kind of preparing the way for me to meet with some of the leading priests and folks at the diocese to be able to get connected. And again, this wasn't part of my plan. I didn't say I'm coming down to live here because I've got a position waiting for me or because of an initiative that's starting. It was trusting It was trusting that the Lord, He knows me, He sees me, He knows what He's about, He knows the plan He has in mind for me. I don't have to know it. I just have to know if I honor Him and sincerely strive to follow Him, that He, in fact, will take care of me. He'll open up things for me in my life that will come in His time and in His way, not in my time or in my way. And, can we let that be okay? Can that be a way that we are saying yes to the Lord? That the Lord will unveil and unfold what He has for us. And so that was the second conversation. I'll pause there. I'll bring up another one because that'll transition me to the next topic that I want to discuss with you today. But before I do that, let's just stop and take stock of this first theme. And the theme is this. Our Lord, He's a provident God. He providentially takes care of us. He providentially is taking care of you. And if you're wondering about the next step in your life, like, Lord, what do you have for me now? And it's not clear to me, and it's hard. I'm trying to figure it out. It just might take a bit of trust to follow the light that you have. Follow the guidance that you do have, that you can be confident about, and then trust that the Lord will give you more guidance as you follow Him. And He may, in fact, begin to open up doors for you that are beyond what you could have imagined. Give the Lord that space to open up the next step for you. It might be in your career, it might be in a relationship, it might be in your vocational discernment, it might be regarding some personal or spiritual challenge or difficulty that you're facing. Follow the Lord in accord with the light that you have, and He will give you more light as you say yes to Him. All right, I'll be back in a minute to continue the conversation. Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. It's great to be with you. I'm mentioning to you some of the things that have been happening along the way in this journey, this move that we made, Carrie and I, with our three kids still at home, made the move down to Boise, and doing so not because of a job, doing so not because of family, doing it because it was what we sensed the Lord had for us. And I'd already shared with you again some of the signs and indicators that were important to us in making that decision. But what I'm sharing with you right now is some of the things that have unfolded along the way. And I just want to finish with one other really neat conversation, encounter that I had. It happened at our house. We invited a priest over to come and bless the house, a pastor here in one of the larger parishes, and just thought, you know, this would be a great opportunity to be able to visit with him and to just get his take on things. And sure enough, had a wonderful dinner, just wonderful. And along the way, he starts to share about some of the things that are happening in his parish and in his life in ministry, and sharing about things happening around here in the diocese. And sure enough, he talks about his desire to have more events at his parish and more teaching at his parish, and would love to be able to call upon me to be involved in this in some way. He talked as well about the really large high school youth group they have that's very active, and how that's been a great place for, again, high school age kids to be able to grow in faith and share their faith and fellowship together. And so that was beautiful to hear. And he himself also talked about the impact of Encounter on his priesthood, and how this is something that Bishop Peter, the bishop here in Boise, which encompasses the whole state, is very, very supportive of, and how much of an impact that's had. And then we had a great conversation as well about the power and importance of the classical model of education. And so that opened up some interesting potential lines for further conversation. And so, once again, we didn't move down here because we had that conversation with this priest a year ago. We didn't move down here because we had that conversation with that priest 6 months ago. We moved down here knowing that we would likely connect with this priest, not knowing that we'd connect with him during the very first week that we were in town, and that it would open up, again, these other horizons for me to continue to do ministry and to do ministry, and as a sense of my call, my own sense of call is to be doing more ministry at this time in my life. And it's like, wow, Lord, you're amazing. You know, it's like we think we have things under control, but we just don't. We just don't. But are we willing to surrender the control, just to surrender it to the Lord, and then give him room to move, give him room to act? All right. Now, I want to shift the conversation here and talk a bit about a number of times in the course of the move, the level of stress and anxiety and pressure, those three things, trying to juggle all of the activities that were happening, where I'm needing to talk to this one person while this other person is here waiting for me, while someone else is texting me and someone is on the phone with me and someone else is calling in, and I've got this deadline and I've got to get back to this other person. And it was insane, the number of times that I experienced that. And I don't know, I just share that with you to say, when you're in a circumstance in life or a situation in life, and you're going to be facing a lot of that stress and pressure, and it can lead to like significant anxiety, it just points back to the radical, radical need that we have to be in a rich union with the Lord that is the fruit of prayer. You have to be praying. And I got to tell you, it's one of the things that is going to be it's a daily temptation, right? The daily temptation is, when I get up in the morning, am I going to make the Lord my first priority? Is he going to be my first priority in prayer? And it's so easy to choose something else, right? To say, oh, I'm too busy to make the Lord or to make prayer my priority today. I've got too many other things to do, or we just let it get crowded out. And so I've been able to see and recognize the way in which that morning prayer, when you give that first time of your day over to the Lord in prayer, he really does fill you up. It's like filling your gas tank, so you have the the internal strength you need to be able to move you through your day, to be able to get you through your day. And when we are not doing that, when we're not praying and putting the Lord in that first place, things get harder. They do. They just get harder. And so it's again, one of my sincere hopes that I, again, in sharing this with you, to just hold on to that. Don't lose sight of the fact that make the Lord your first priority, and do that by choosing prayer first. All right. Now, what's at stake in all of this? One of the things that came in my prayer time over the past week was a message from purgatory. What in the world is that? A message from purgatory. I was listening to a teaching about realizing how to bear fruit in your life, like spiritually through suffering and through like praying for the holy souls in purgatory. And this isn't my theme. The theme is really about not wasting time. I talk about the idea of being diverted, distracted, and dispersed, right? Those three enemies of the spiritual life in Bonaventure. And the way in which we get diverted, distracted, and dispersed that can really hold us back in life is it showed up from the voice of someone in purgatory. this teacher in this teaching was quoting from a book that was it was taken from like the life of some saint who had received a visit from a soul in purgatory. And the gist of the message was that the biggest regret that this soul in purgatory had was around a particular sin. And the sin was waste. It wasn't that they wasted food. It wasn't that they wasted money. It wasn't even that they wasted their talents. And any one of those things could be like a real source of waste, right? But it was wasted time. It was wasted time. The waste of opportunity to use our time fruitfully for the Lord and for His purposes. And there was this like great woe, and it repeated, and this like soul in purgatory was just circling around this theme and was making a plea to the one receiving the message. Please tell souls not to waste time, not to waste the preciousness of time. It's not something that you can ever get back, right? If I'm out of shape, I can work and I can get back into shape unless some, you know, serious health event intervenes, right? If I lose money, I can always, by working hard and diligently, make back some, most or all of it, or even more, and even benefit from it, right? From the loss. If I use my talents in ways that are not honoring to God, that can be redeemed. I can take those talents and even the maturity that came from using them in ways and for purposes that weren't from God and turn them for godly purposes, right? But time, no turning the clock back. There is no turning the clock back. So my brothers and sisters, today, right now, today, you and I have this special moment of time. And I don't want to miss it myself. And I don't want you to miss it either. I don't want us to miss out on God's purposes. Like, what's the will of God? What's the purposes? What are the purposes of God? What's the mission that the Lord has for us today? Like, I only shared with you what I did. about my, in terms of laying out like my trip, because I felt like that was what God wanted me to do. I wasn't just trying to fill time. I was trying to unfold a teaching through my own life about the idea that you discern wisely, prudently, but then you have to take an action. You have to step up, step out, and push forward. Even if you're going to do something that is uprooting and uncomfortable and even involves some suffering, if you're going to obey the Lord. And you're going to do that not because you have total clarity to what the Lord has for you, but because you have sufficient light to say yes to Him. But you're only going to know that if you're praying. If you're not praying every day, if you're not putting the Lord first, if you're not trying to sink into that relationship with the Lord where you're nurturing that union with Him, then none of that will unfold. That won't unfold. We'll just be making a lot of noise. The John of the Cross says, you know, without prayer, we would be, we can be doing a lot of work and accomplishing little and maybe even doing harm. But with prayer, we can, with one work, bring about an abundance of fruit because it's infilled with God's grace. One of the things that this priest that was over for dinner reminded me, and he did so in the context of the encounter, our conversation about encounter, is that grace elevates. Grace elevates the operation of the activities that happen in our lives. It elevates it to a supernatural level. And this is such an important point. He pointed to Aquinas, and I was like right there immediately. I was like, yes, that's right. Aquinas points out in the Summa Theologica that we are by nature, by how we've been created, we are created for a goal, for a purpose that is beyond human nature. It's supernatural. There's a supernatural goal that we have been called to pursue in our own human nature. But with that said, we can't achieve that supernatural goal, which is ours to accomplish, which we sense and we can know in the core of our being, without God's elevating strength, without the strength that comes from God. That's what God's grace is. God's grace is Him elevating all of our activities, our thoughts, our words, our deeds. It's God elevating all of that by His activity in us. That's God's grace. And so I want to encourage you not to waste today. Don't waste this moment. I don't know what the Lord has for you. Not wasting it doesn't necessarily mean, oh, I've got these duties that are part of my state in life that have to do with taking care of my family or my kids or going to work. I'm not saying, oh, no, stop doing all of that stuff and instead go pray in the church all day. I'm not saying that, but I am saying that if you took a look at your day and the things that are going to unfold over the course of your day, you're probably going to see opportunity. You're probably going to see quite a bit of opportunity to say, you know what? I'm going to put down my phone. I'm not going to watch that show. I'm not going to just choose to do what's comfortable and easy, but instead, I'm going to take a walk and pray a rosary. I'm going to go to Mass. I'm going to go to adoration. I'm going to go to confession. I'm going to read a spiritual book or listen to a talk. I'm going to do something to nurture my spiritual life. Or how about this? I'm going to journal. And what could you journal on? Well, I'll talk about that in a minute since I'm up against a break. Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. It's great to be with you today. I'm on a journey with you. I'm walking along here in the neighborhood where Carrie and I now live. And it's really quiet in the neighborhood. I'm actually surprised how few dogs there are. I've only passed two houses with dogs. You might have heard one of them in the background. But the thing that is so interesting, it's a really peaceful environment. And I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm gonna walk and talk. I'm going to share the journey with you as I'm making my journey. And I brought all of that up right now because this is part of what I want to share with you. Just before the break, I said, maybe you can journal. Maybe you can journal about something in particular. So there's a spiritual practice that I'm pretty sure is part of like certain movements, like Opus Dei, where one of the things that you do if you're going to advance in the spiritual life is you don't settle for sin. Okay, and of course, we're not supposed to settle for sin in our lives, but if I said, okay, we both agree that we're not going to settle for sin in our lives, and then I asked you, okay, great, what are you doing about it? What are the top three sins that are part of your life right now that you need to work on? And among those three, let's take one sin. What specifically are you doing to overcome the sin that is having the biggest negative impact in your life? I would say that, unfortunately, the great majority of us would probably only be able to vaguely identify what the top three sins are. And even if we could, and we identified the sin that's having the biggest impact on our lives, do we have a specific, call it action plan, to take it on, to uproot it from our lives? And that's something I want to encourage you to think about, right? If you don't want to waste time, then if you flip it and say, I want to use my time in the most fruitful way, well, one of the most, or the most fruitful thing to do is to advance in our union with the Lord through prayer. But the other thing that we can do is to uproot the things that are holding us back from going deeper into our relationship with the Lord in prayer. Does that make sense? So in other words, you want to advance or develop the assets, the giftings that are helping you to grow in faith and grow as a daughter of God, as a son of God, growing in holiness and growing in your exercise of your mission in life. Yes. But the other part of it is removing obstacles, you know, being set free from bondage, from spiritual bonds that are holding you back. What specifically are you doing to accomplish that? And this journaling practice can be part of that. And so my encouragement is, don't waste today. If you can, have a journal. If having a journal is too hard, use your smartphone and use notes. Use the Notes app, and you can do a voice messaging of this. And just identify. It really feels like this sin is the sin that is holding me back the worst right now. And I want to take a step. I want to walk the journey to become healed and become free. I'm sharing this with you for a reason. One of the stories that this priest shared at dinner was that he had gone on the Camino, ta-da, after I had gone, and word got out that he was going. And he ended up meeting with someone, a woman, who asked him to carry something and then present it in the Church of St. James, of Santiago de Compostela, which is the end point, right, of the Camino. So he agreed, but she then told the story of what had happened. And sure enough, it was the story of a sin that had impacted her horrifically, tragically, and it happened to her on the Camino. And it was the story of her going with these high spiritual ideals and gets on the Camino, and a couple of days in, connects up with a guy on the Camino, and this guy's married, and sure enough, they go off the trail of the Camino and just spend a couple of weeks together just living in sin, just doing sinful things together. And what I found so striking was the impact that that had on her life ever since. She talked about the devastating, like, personal, like, internal destruction of her own sense of self-worth, of her character, of her sense of identity, that it was devastated. And it led her into further self-destructive behaviors that unfolded in the course of her life, over the course of years and even decades. And of course, I'm sure there's more to the story, right? We don't get access to all the details, but the point was, she was finally, after hitting rock bottom, climbing out of that pit and was getting her life in order. But one of the things that she felt a deep call to do was to complete the Camino. And he, this priest, was going to be the one who did it for her. He was going to be carrying her by carrying this memento that for her was a way of saying, I finished what I felt called to do through this priest, and I can now let go. I can be set free from this devastating sin, this devastating, like, time in her life that she pursued for good and for godliness, but it ended up being turned into just a web of evils in her life. And when I heard this, I felt so sad. I think, honest to God, that I truly underestimate the wreckage that comes from infidelity, that comes from sins associated with infidelity and sexual impropriety. Like, for her, she was not married, but this was a married man. And I don't know all the details, but I've, over the years, gained more insight from authors and therapists and those who work with, or people who have walked a path that involve divorce, and so spousal abandonment and the damaging effect on kids, as well as the devastating effects of even one instance of child sexual abuse, that scars and damages a poor innocent child for the rest of their lives in so many instances, and how it can lead them into a trail of self-destructive behavior. And it's like, my brothers and sisters, if God's mercy has been part of your life to preserve you from the impacts of those sins, just give tremendous praise and thanks to God for His preserving mercy. But if you have been impacted by the wounds that you yourself have inflicted on yourself through those sins, or you're the victim of someone in very near and dear in your life, a spouse, a parent, or someone near and dear to you, the Lord has healing. The Lord has restoration. The Lord wants to unbind and set free. And so, But that's a journey. That's going to take a journey, but a journey of coming to the Lord and asking Him to be unbound and set free. And so I share that with you as I'm coming up against a break to not let sin or the effects of sin fester in your life, because it can close you off to a deeper experience of the union of love with the Lord and hold you back from fulfilling the power and the beauty of God's call for your life. All right, I'll be back in a minute. Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. In the last section, I'm going to share with you a little bit about this idea of not only just using a journal, but being planful, right? Being practical and planful about the best way to get to your goal. So I was talking about the goal of spiritual development and addressing that major sin in your life that you can take on, right? That'll typically involve some form of prayer, fasting, self-denial, some picking up of your cross, and then practicing the virtue that is the antidote to that, right? So if it's pride, you're humbling yourself. If it's a sense of mistrust, you're making acts of trust to the Lord. If it's feeling overwhelmed by life circumstances and it's leading you to feel despair, that you surrender things to the Lord and you give Him space to move, right? That sort of thing. I want to give you a human example. So one of the things that I mentioned to you that I'm taking seriously, meaning intentionally, and making it a focus, is the idea of getting in better shape, being healthier. And so one of the things that is marking my life right now is that I am, once I'm getting unpacked, slightly less busy. And that's making room. It's being less busy about work and being more focused on getting healthy. And so one of the things, know yourself. One of the things I know about myself is that I am more likely to be successful in my attempts to get healthier is if I have less sort of stress on my day, less pressure on my day, less things in my day, so that I have the capacity to choose to eat in a healthy mode and to work out in a way that's going to be appropriate for someone of my age and in my health condition. And so I've already started to like reach out to and do some research about like local gyms and local sort of men's health clinics around here who have a specialization in helping me identify like hormone levels and other levels of things that will show up in my blood that I can then regulate better, take action on. This is something that I was not aware of, but guys will begin to lose muscle mass and their testosterone level will go down and they'll end up being like lacking in energy and more lethargic. I think it's beginning in their 40s. And I'd never heard this, but the impact of it can be significant. And so I'm going to get these, you know, blood tests and things to figure out what's going on the inside, because the way that I could get in shape, stay in shape, and get in better shape when I was 30 is going to be fundamentally different than when I'm 60. Maybe not fundamentally different, right? Because obviously it's going to involve how I'm eating and how I'm exercising, but there's definitely going to be a much greater refinement. And if I didn't, and this happens so often, if I didn't realize that I needed to pay attention and know myself, well, my back decided to remind me, because a couple of days ago I was moving around some furniture to get it in place and decided to pick up this piece of furniture in a way that wasn't very wise. and ended up throwing out my lower back. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I pulled a muscle in my lower back. And it has been terrible. Terrible. And I'm like, just when I have some time and space to work out better, right? To be healthier in how I'm working out, what happens? I pull a muscle in my lower back so that I can't start my workout regimen. That was depressing. So what did I do? I ate badly. I don't think I really did, but it sounds funny. But you can see those things are definitely connected. Those things are definitely part of our journey and our life circumstance. I share this with you just to say that don't be surprised if, as you make attempts to be intentional about advancing in faith, advancing to, like, again, grow in your union with the Lord or overcome a sin or to take on a new spiritual discipline, in my instance, like taking these steps that says, okay, great, now I'm set up to get healthy, then something like this happens. I get this injury that sets me back. I'm like, ah, oh, that is so humbling. That is so humbling. It's frustrating, but it's humbling. And so don't get caught off guard if something like that happens. Don't let it get you down. Just say, okay, acknowledge it and pick yourself up and just keep moving forward, right? Just keep moving forward. So, all right. So that's, I'm excited about that. So if you wouldn't mind, like, I don't often ask for like help from others. I'm much quicker to attempt to be of service to others, but I'm going to ask for your prayers. Please pray for me. Please pray that I will be able to follow the Lord and grow in holiness. I would be able to discern better how to fulfill the God-given mission that is mine at this moment in my life, and that I won't be distracted, dispersed, or diverted into things that will set me up to miss the moment of God's grace, to miss this moment in my life, this window that's here, and instead that I'll be able to take the steps, the practical, concrete steps, to fulfill God's plan and to honor God's plan for our lives. So, well, I hope and pray that that was a blessing to you to hear that. I'm going to pray for you. I feel like this, that would be a good way to end the program. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, I come before you with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, I just thank you for the journey that you have us on. And Lord, it's not always easy for us to thank you because things happen in our lives, Lord, that make life difficult, that hold us back, that slow us down, that throw us off. But Lord, we thank you because you are a provident God. You are so good and generous to us. You love us and take care of us beyond our wildest dreams, beyond what we deserve. And so, Lord, we just thank you for that. And Lord, I pray for those dear brothers and sisters of mine. I pray especially for the men that are listening to me who are not clear about their discernment regarding their next step, about their next use of their life energy. Lord, help them to know what that path and plan is for them and give them the strength to say yes today. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you don't hide your path from us. I thank you that you do reveal your path to us. And Lord, I just pray that we would say yes quickly. In your holy name we pray, amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. All right, God bless your day.